It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com. It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.
Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory.
Sewing Out Loud.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Mallory Donahue.
And I'm ZD Donahue.
And we're doing a Q&A episode today. I like these a lot. I don't know why.
I do too. I think what's funny too... Like, somebody had a Q&A about a buttonhole or something, and I was like, I like it when we can send the podcast for the answer.
Yeah, that can be nice.
I love it.
Yes. Okay.
And then they say, oh, yeah, I saw that. I just wondered if anybody else knew anything, so whatever.
I have a – well, maybe this will be a tangent to start another episode with if we really need it. I have another linguistics sewing tangent.
Okay.
To share.
Okay.
I'm just going to do it right now. So the I was listening to the History of English podcast, as I am wont to do when I mow the lawn. And I mow the lawn for like 2 hours, so I get to listen to like a couple of podcasts.
Yeah, you know, I have a linguistics thing that I'll tell you about too. Go ahead.
Sure you do. Of course you do. So...
And I was saying, and it's really inappropriate. Go ahead.
What's coming, what the guy was talking about, what Kevin was talking about on the History of English podcast was about numbering and counting and things like that.
Oh, we talked about this yesterday.
Yes, yeah. And so it's a different thing. So anyway, I just want to bring up that there are these things they found at archaeological dig sites. There are these sticks that have notches in them. And they're like, oh, these were used for counting, you know. And they were called tallies. Duh, right? We all know the word tally, right? But tally is related to the French word taille, which is the word for waist and the word for size in mm-hmm. French.
Yes, it is.
So it's just like all, you know.
It all comes together.
I knew the word. I've known the word right. Like taille. I've known for waist
well,
and for
and
size.
Well, and they have that on the pattern sometimes.
Like, yeah, it'll say that. So anyway, like that's, I just had never put together that it was basic. I believe that it is cognate almost with the word tally.
Right.
So I just thought that was a neat little thing to do. And so many of our measurements, of course, come from the body and ways of counting come from the body. But I won't get, like, you can go listen to his podcast if you really want to hear all that. But, yeah. All right. So let's move on to our
I don't
first...
get to say my
Oh,
thing.
I'm sorry. I forgot.
See, she's not letting
I
me.
Know.
Oh,
I know.
Well,
say yours.
This is just kind of funny mm-hmm. because you shouldn't say things that you don't know the full meaning of,
Very
right?
When
you
good
like, okay. So after having the same boat, correct, for 23 years... I got boat fever and I wanted a bigger boat, right?
Yeah.
Well, because our family got bigger. That's why. But anyway, so we need a cruiser.
Okay.
Because I want something with a cabin.
Do you not know what a cruiser is?
Yes, I did. I did. So there's a cruiser cabin.
Oh.
And there's a cuddy cabin. The cuddy was new to me, right?
Oh.
So we're down to, we think we want a cuddy cabin.
Okay.
Right? And so I said, I'm saying to my husband, your father, right? I'm like, we could be cuddy buddies. We could be cuddy buddies, right? And then I thought, I don't know. I mean, I was awakened by the dog one night, couldn't go back to sleep. And I look up cuddy, and it meant what I thought, like small or a little space or something like that.
Okay.
Except in the urban dictionary,
oh, well.
Cuddy buddy is something
else.
Yes.
Okay, so look that up. Yes. I thought you were going to, you know, okay, well, let's not go too far into the gutter with this.
Because cuddy just means like small room or apartment. Why couldn't you be my cuddy buddy,
right?
Going
to bring up, like, you know, what it means to go cruising. So anyway, we won't talk about that.
Well, it's close to that.
Moving on.
Apparently, a lot of boat terms can
Are we surprised?
No. Okay, well, yeah, but now I can't say that.
Moving on to Beverly's question. Okay. We've only wasted 4 minutes of these people's time. It's fine.
Okay.
Beverly asks,
oh, yeah.
I have made some shorts to wear under dresses using my M2M leggings. Love the fit. But how do I get the legs to stay down at mid-thigh without riding up when I walk? Great question, Beverly.
It's a really good, it's a high-impact question.
Yes. Multifaceted yes. answer coming at
yes.
you.
In fact, yes, we have another, very, very good question.
We have another question, but I don't know if this is going to take the whole podcast. So let's talk about this a little bit. Let's start off with fit, because Beverly compliments us in this.
Well right.
Which is
she
very
knows
nice of her.
She knows that that fits her
as a legging,
and it's her. You know, it was made for her. Her yeah. shape. Yes. Yeah. You know, her measurements. I guess I should say shape measurements. Whatever. It's specific to Beverly.
Right.
Beverly.
But I've had it happen before where like I can have pants that fit fine, but then the shorts version, you know, can
right,
ride up
right.
or be different, and so it is something to take into consideration. So with the leggings, you take the thigh and you take the knee measurement. Okay, when I say thigh, I mean up near your crotch.
It's right at the crotch line.
Yeah,
yes.
So it's kind of right at your crotch line. So that's what you get. And then you get your knee. Man, the variation in how fat and muscle are distributed on different people's thighs is just very unique.
Because it determines a shape.
Yeah.
And it determines a consistency, like a where is it pliable, where is it not, where is it firm, where is it not firm. So, you know, you can't just say a leg is this shape and it's firm in this place and not in this place or whatever.
So I said something that has helped me with my thigh is and my made-to-measure leggings have been to find where my thigh tapers down, okay? And then also I make it tighter at that point to keep the garment down. Now, if it's too tight all around, it can also ride up. So,
right.
So there, I guess I want to say the answer is not, just make it
tighter.
Yeah,
we don't right. Yeah, the answer to this can be quite arbitrary.
Yes, it can vary, okay? It can be unique. So one thing you could try if you're doing this is to make it tighter down there. The other thing is you might, the made-to-measure leggings, you know, the leg is basically a mirror image. It's a symmetrical pattern piece. Have you ever cut off a pair of jean shorts that you marked on the front and not the back, and then they ride up too high in the back? You might need to make them, like, a little longer in the back.
Right. They not straight across
That's
is what
right.
we're talking
it
about.
It might be a curve.
Actually, sometimes you may need to make them longer at the inner thigh.
Yeah.
A little bit. So it's you know,
take
it
a
is.
Few markings.
And I don't know, like, if she's having this problem, she knows probably where she wants them or has been cutting them off.
Yes.
So maybe you need to like sort of study, you know, your thigh there. Now, I have a problem, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know where to make my shorts cut off, okay?
Yeah.
And it is not mid-thigh. I have to go lower, okay?
I do like mine.
I have to go a little bit lower.
Mine are almost, I'd say, like kind of right above my knee.
I think mine is two-thirds of the way to my knee, maybe.
Okay.
But I cannot, for the life of me, make a boy short, okay?
You don't like that.
I think it's the shape of my leg, okay? I have very, very, very muscular outer, like, leg
thigh.
They're
very, 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 very,
well,
very...
I don't know...
Very muscular.
Well, okay, honestly, I have no fat.
I'm so funny.
Like, I have no fat on my outer...
On your outer thigh.
My outer thigh or the top or the back. I mean, my legs are very, very firm, okay? In fact, I've always been like that. Like, just as I've been a child, I had these, like, hard legs.
No, when I
right at my crotch, there's that little piece of fat.
Yeah, there's that.
That I think everybody has.
Uh-huh, of course.
You know, and... They just like to roll right up into
there. Roll right up in there. Yeah,
yeah. I cannot do a boy short.
So I used to wear a lot of boy shorts. I used to love boy short underwear and everything when I was younger. And I don't tend to, like, if when I gain and lose weight, it doesn't happen a lot on my thighs. That happens to me in my belly, personally. So my legs have been sort of stable throughout my life, but, you know, with different things happening, you know, childbirth and stuff, there has been some change in the thigh, and I've noticed that going down further really helps. The other thing I want to bring up is the type of fabric. Mm-hmm. So I didn't ask Beverly what type of fabric she'd been using, but this is, if you're trying to use this as sort of like an anti-chafing short or sort of a cooling short, or, you know, it's an undergarment. Okay.
What maybe. I was going to say is it might need to be more of like a power fabric.
It may need yes. to be a fabric that's a more stable knit mm-hmm. and a fabric that is a slick, swishy.
Well, right.
Or what? Slick.
Right. What I'm thinking of is, and they call this usually like high performance knit.
Yeah.
Which means it sort of holds you in.
Yeah.
It's like a power mesh kind of thing, right?
Those,
and you can make those out of power mesh, by the way.
And I have.
Right.
I have, yeah.
Sometimes if you're using just regular spandex, so, or some sort of like, what do we call it, leggings fabric?
Know.
Or
yeah.
It's almost too soft.
It's okay, that's yes. what I was going to say. Yes. Like, okay, what if you made these out of DBP? I think they, in some cases, would not do the trick
right.
here. I'd want something that could be really tight and that if they're slick, then they don't, you know, when your legs come together mm-hmm. or when you walk, they can't pick up on one another and
right.
climb up each other. Okay.
Right.
So that's something that you need to do. And that's, I found that with shorts almost my whole life, that the tighter the short, actually, the less they'd ride up. So like I said, I just don't think it's not like a unique problem, but it might be that you have a unique solution according to your body.
Right. The other thing you can do is mm-hmm. actually apply something there. There
yeah.
is elastic that you can buy that has like a silicone or like a rubber stripe on it.
Yes, yes.
Okay, and you could put that in your hem
uh-huh.
to go against your skin. Now, she may not like that. A lot of people don't want it. They just want the fabric.
You know, sometimes people will say, I'm allergic to silicone, and I mean, I guess you can be, but like silicone is
pretty inert.
Is glass.
Yes.
You know, it's silica. Yes. So you might not be necessarily like allergic to silicone, but you're getting a contact.
Well,
you're
but you may have
irritated.
You may
by
be irritated by the texture.
Yes,
yes.
You're getting irritated by that
texture. And there is now, like Mallory said, silicone. So, and then there is also silicone you just apply.
Yeah.
It's like
of,
in a tube
yeah.
and it's, it's basically caulk.
It's caulk. It's
okay?
silicone caulk. Yeah.
It's caulk, but it can come like in a like toothpaste size
yeah.
tube.
Okay.
Yeah. And you can get it in clear and white. And sometimes they think like dark browns or blacks
right,
or whatever.
A darker color.
I would probably just get clear because, or whatever color they had. But I would get that at the hardware store.
Yeah.
Okay. And sometimes you can just put a little, you know, a couple of stripes or whatever inside that leg.
Right.
Okay, and that will do it for
inside
you.
Inside the hem.
Right, inside the hem.
You said want that it, and I thought, you don't want it on the inside of your leg.
So you want it down at the bottom at the hem, like maybe, you know, two or three little rings of it, you know, going around the inside of the hem that come up
right.
like an inch or so.
Yeah, so the length of the leggings, you know, in the made-to-measure leggings, you know, it is something you can play with, but I will say that part of the reason that they are like staying down is because they go all the way down to your ankle. It's
right.
just like the nature of any kind of trouser like that. So when you cut those up, make sure maybe you need to leave them longer in the back. Maybe you need to leave them longer on the inner thigh.
Maybe you don't need to taper them quite.
Maybe you don't. Maybe you do.
Maybe you do. Well, because the thing is you're tapering to the knee using the knee
yeah.
measurement.
Yeah.
Maybe you need to measure, you know,
where,
up your 6 inches
you
from
go.
Your knee and see what that is coming out as
yeah,
and
so,
do that number there.
Okay. So in the class, you measure from that, like, crotch level to the knee.
Right.
So in this case, measure from crotch level to
that mid thigh,
and
see if that can make a difference,
and measure the circumference there. See if there's a difference.
There's a whole lot of variables here because, like, when they're long, they're being held down lower on your leg.
Right, right.
You know, the stretch. it's like those handcuffs that are made out of bamboo or right, whatever, that straw, where you pull them and they tighten on you.
Yes.
That happens with leggings.
So that can be useful sometimes. It's right. like we like it, you
but,
know.
But you're like missing that now.
Yes.
Like you don't have that pull at the other end down by your ankle and your knee.
And that was actually brought up in a discussion about trouser slopers. Mm-hmm. Like make your sloper full length.
Yes.
Don't, when you are trying to, like, make a muslin of a pair of trousers, make them short because you could be missing out on problems that could arise when they're long.
Right.
Well, it's kind of the same thing then when you go to make a pair of shorts. Right. You're going to have to, you know, do some special things. So you will have to take some things into consideration as you go there and just experiment. And like I said, I think the fabric makes a difference because my cotton, okay, that 14-ounce cotton spandex that L.A. Finch had, and they don't have it right now, but I freaking love that fabric. Okay.
Now, would you make a pair of...
I could make a pair of shorts.
Shorts like that?
I would.
Mm-hmm.
They might not be... Well, I don't know. I kind of like the cotton in the summer, actually, personally.
Yeah.
Everybody's got different preferences about that, so... But
I'll tell you what, the cotton... If you're using cotton spandex, pre-wash, do pre-wash.
Yeah.
And do put it through the dryer. I really think so. I have had...
Oh, have you had some...
I have had cotton spandex over time.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, this is not feeling comfortable anymore. It'll still fit. Do you know what I mean? But it won't be as comfortable as when I made it.
I just love those.
She loves that.
Actually, those are falling apart now because I've worn them so much. Like, they... And it's been years. But I love that fabric. And those would just be... I imagine wearing that, like, as an undergarment. So, okay, any more tips on those leggings for making them? I hate to, you know, give you a bit of a non-answer, but the answer is it's okay to have that problem and your solution's going to be unique.
Right, yeah, right. So there's almost everyone has that problem, except there's, you know, 42 solutions to it or whatever.
Yeah, so don't just take one and then wonder why it doesn't work for you.
Yeah.
Try a few.
And maybe when you're wearing them and it does happen, kind of think about what's going on.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes people can, like, wear them for a while and they don't write up till, like, after an hour or so.
Yeah.
So, you know,
is it the recovery of the fabric? Is it the way it's cut? Yeah. Okay, we'll take a quick break and come back and answer another question. ZD, what's your favorite way to measure yourself?
With my Easy Check tape measure.
So tell me a little bit about this.
It's the only way to measure myself, I think.
Why is it so magical?
Well, because there's a slide on it.
Uh-huh.
You actually snap one end of the tape measure into the back of the slide, and then you fit it to the measurement, and then you can unsnap, and the slide remains on the place that you've measured.
So if you're trying to measure your arm.
Right.
Or your underbust.
Right.
Or your thigh.
Or your head.
Or your head. Oh, yeah. The head. Right. Definitely.
Well, and, you know, measuring yourself is one thing, but even measuring somebody else, what it does is it marks the spot, basically, where the measurement is. And so if I'm, and this happens to you, that you're measuring somebody and they start talking to you and you're like, was that 21 or 23? Oh, my gosh.
Right.
And where with this, you know, the slide has marked it.
I also have heard feedback from customers who say, I am sending this to my daughter or, you know, so that she can measure my grandchildren.
That's
and it will
right.
be accurate.
Right.
Right?
Well, we've actually had trainers, too.
Yep.
That bought these, you know, for their customers or they themselves use it for their customers or it was a male trainer and a female client. He didn't have to put his hands on the person or whatever.
Also, this tape measure, when you use it with a snap, it's impossible to work from the wrong side.
That's the other thing.
Yeah.
I was going to say, you can't measure from the 60 end. You have to measure
from the zero end. Yes.
Right. Right. And I said 60, but... you know, it also has the millimeters on the other side, too. So you've got...
you have imperial, and you have metric.
Metric, right.
And so the Easy Check tape measure makes it very simple when you are trying to measure yourself, and you just don't want to be fumbling around.
Well, and I think, you know, the thing is, don't order one. Because if somebody sees it, a husband or a daughter or just a friend, I mean, honestly, at Christmas time, I would put this like in almost everybody's stocking stuffer. And I think it's a great thing to like send away to college with people, things like that.
Where
you want yeah. something measured.
Well, if you're interested in your own Easy Check tape measure, you can see a video on how it works at sewhere.com/tape measure. And you can check it out for yourself.
Sewing out loud.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit DiscoverSouthCarolina.com.
We're back. All right, our second question came with a photo, so I'm going to kind of describe it a little bit, but you can also see it in the group. And this one is from Amber. She posts a photo of a very chic-looking person in sort of the trousers aren't, they're kind of baggy, you know, is what I would say. They're easy-fitting, loose-fitting. And she says, these are the Berta Vagabond trousers made from silk. Is there anything else I could make them from that would have the same drape and weightlessness? Or do I need to get over my fear of silk? So, first of all, is there anything that could, like, drape like that silk?
Close to it.
Close to it.
And it depends on what silk you're talking about,
right.
Okay? So silk is just not silk.
So we're going to help you get over your fear right. of silk right now. In fact, that maybe could have been I know we've mentioned this before, but that maybe could have been a podcast. Okay, sometimes the expensive fabrics, the fabrics you've been made to be like, I'm so afraid to touch this because it's so expensive.
Or when people go, silk is slick. Guess what? Not all of it is.
Not all of it. Yeah, it just depends. You can have a silk knit.
Wool.
A silk satin. You can have a silk this. You can have a silk that. So don't be afraid of silk. On its own, as a fiber, it's not inherently hard to work with just because it's silk.
No.
Okay? But you mentioned wool. Yeah, a lot of people be like, oh, I don't want to touch that wool. And man, I've gotten some high quality, like a wool coating. Mm-hmm. Easiest thing to sew. Easiest thing to make myself look good. Like,
and
I don't know why.
Most silk that I have ever used has been extremely easy to work with.
Yeah.
I mean... You know, the worst fabrics I've ever worked with are the ones that are inexpensive. Here I go again, my Halloween fabrics. You know, they might be made to look like silk, but they aren't. And they're, you know, they don't.
They snag
they just
really
don't,
easy.
Right. They just don't have all the good features
I like it for something.
Yeah, I use it. I'm not saying I don't use it and all that. But, you know, silk, now, silk may frighten you because of the price. Silk may frighten you because, yes, if you're wearing it and you spill water, you'll get a water spot on it.
Right.
But I always wash my silk, pre-wash, mm-hmm. just like I do everything else, so that I know I can wash my silk again.
Yeah. Okay. So you pre-wash it, but if you order a swatch, okay, or because she says, you know, I guess in the magazine or the picture, wherever she's gotten the picture from, it says they're made from silk. But if you order that fabric and you feel it, you're going to feel, oh, this is a little slick, or it's not, or you're going to feel.
A lot of silks have kind of like, especially like drapey silks like that, I think, they have more of like a, fine sand like finish to
well,
them.
Well, I've also seen a lot of lightweight silk twills.
That's true,
okay.
too. Yes,
and
yes.
Twills can offer up some of their own challenges.
Right.
It's a less stable weave than right. your normal over-under tabby weave, but I like them. They're a little bit more durable, and I've seen some lightweight ones. But, yeah, don't be afraid of silk. And it is a rather it's a rather durable fiber.
Silk is weak when wet, yes. strong when dry.
That's right. So it's not like, I mean, I would be careful with it, of course, if it's like $30 yard fabric, because that's expensive and I wouldn't maybe go
well,
mow my lawn in it.
It depends on what you're going to do. And, you know, silk is organic or a natural fiber.
Yeah.
Therefore, it's liable to light.
Right.
You know, it's liable to moisture. So, you know, you need to think of all those things.
Yeah. So there are other fabrics. You can look for a rayon that would be drapey like that. Rayon is, it kind of straddles the line between natural and man-made. It is made from plant fibers.
It's
from
natural.
Cellulose.
Uh-huh, it's cellulose.
But it's so processed that a lot of...
Right. So it is like they get a big bucket of liquid cellulose and
right.
they squirt it through these dyes that make cellulose threads
right.
and then they weave that thread.
Yes.
So it's wood. It's wood.
It's pulp. It's cellulose. And
same
with you'll see something like Tencel, which is just like a
what else do they call rayon? There's another word. Oh man.
Well,
starts with a V, doesn't it?
Viscose. There we go.
Viscose is also rayon.
Yes, so same
and
thing.
And sometimes
there.
You'll see something that says viscose rayon.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that's really repeating itself.
Right.
It's fabrics are weird. Here's the deal. Like sometimes there are taxes or
regulations.
Sort of, what do you call them? You know, when you tax something, what do you call it?
Tariffs
on something. And it like if it's on there'll be a tariff on cotton, so instead they'll call it Ramey.
Yeah.
And it's cotton, but
yeah.
there's no tax on Ramey, but there's a tax on cotton. So, you know, learning to read those and what those mean. Nowadays you just Google it.
Yeah, I would say that if this picture where you got this picture, if it's mm-hmm. on a blog or a magazine, if it says it's silk twill or silk this or silk that,
right.
if it gives some more specific information, let that guide your search.
Right.
But you're looking for this drape and this hand. So any fabric that kind of has the drape that these, you know.
I mean, I'm thinking she might like a rayon with a little spandex in it even.
Well, and
you
what,
know?
What I'm saying is any fabric that's got that drape in hand
right.
might offer you the same challenges no matter the fiber.
Some polyesters are very slick and tricky to work with.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they've tried to mimic them to be like a fine
yeah.
silk, and they go overboard on the slickness somehow. I don't know how they do that.
Okay, well, we have that silk satin that we made my wedding dress out of, and then people go buy the stiffer, like, poly satins, and that's the stuff that sheds and shreds.
Well, and
stuff,
your wedding dress is almost charmeuse. Like, it's
very lightweight.
It's very light, very soft, where Hillary's is a silk satin, and it is a stiffer.
Yes.
So she had a stiffer
like a
type wedding.
Satin.
Yeah, she had a stiffer wedding. So, you know, they both had silk wedding dresses. And the hand and the texture and the drape were totally different on them.
Right. But then I think about that poly silk. I'm like, that stuff, that Halloween fabric.
Yeah.
That's some of the hardest stuff to sew.
Well, it's like crinkly and doesn't bend.
Yeah,
and I don't
you,
know.
Like, put a needle through
well,
it.
Well, and the
crap,
other thing is, sometimes I don't know what they use to print on it. I swear it's paint.
Yeah.
You know, like.
And this isn't like, this isn't saying that, like, you shouldn't use it or
oh,
anything.
Oh, no.
I find it challenging to
well,
use.
Well,
you know,
absolutely, you get what you want out of it.
Yes.
I mean, it might be what you want,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know. Yeah. Those pants. I looked at them, and you want something drapey.
Right.
I don't know how heavy, but I went through like a rayon pant period where it was almost like a modified harem pant. It had a little bit of looseness like around my hips and my thighs, and I made them tighter in the leg.
Mm-hmm.
And oh my gosh, I wore those for like 4 or 5 years. That was like, I would make myself like 3 pair of rayon pants. like every summer.
So you look for fabric online too, if that's where you're shopping, look for a bottom weight silk. Okay, yes. Because that is going to give, okay, you don't want everybody to like see through to your butt or your underwear or whatever. Right. Unless you do, and then you buy that fabric.
That's true.
So look for that bottom weight silk. But yeah, don't, if you've got.
Want a silk that maybe somebody would use for lingerie. It's going to be too thin for you.
If you have this fear of silk, mm-hmm. I'm saying feel free to like let that go.
It would be great if you could find some silk that you do not feel was outside of your reasonable price range, and sew on it.
Yes.
You know, and maybe sew something that you have made a sloper for, or you've already used that pattern and you're happy with that. I'm not sure I would experiment on, two different factors at a time.
Sew yourself like a little headscarf or something and see, okay, well, this really isn't that different when I put it under the machine. Or maybe it is different in some ways, mm-hmm. but it might be different in some ways, not because it's silk, but because of the way the fabric is woven.
But if you're using good needles and good thread, and again, we would sew our silk with polyester. We would not use silk thread.
Yeah, that's what I would do if I was making a pair of silk pants right now.
It would be polyester metrocine type thread.
So I would lay the fabric out. Fabric that is finicky. Sometimes you want to weight the fabric on your table.
We kind of tape it down to the table.
We talked about that. Whether it's silk or rayon or whatever, but if it is a little shifty, you may want to weight that down. I'd cut it out with my rotary cutter after weighting down the pattern pieces, and then. I would be using my sewing machine and my serger for finishing the seams. That was another thing. Let's just relate that.
We will
post.
Talk about that for sure.
We know what we're talking about.
Yep. The red wool shorts. They were beautiful.
And I
think she was in love with them. She really liked them.
Yeah, I have to. I don't know. I can't remember the name of the person because it's just, I didn't write it down.
I know. I can't either.
But what she did was she had these beautiful red, were they wool? They were twill.
I thought it was a wool twill.
So this twill was sort of a loosely woven twill. You could really see the pattern, of the twill. And she'd sewn them together, but then when she finished the seam allowances, she serged them real close. And so.
No, did she?
Yes.
Okay, so. Are you sure she didn't construct with the serger?
Yes, I am certain.
Okay.
Okay. Right. No, she said, I sewed with the sewing machine, which I think is a really good demonstration. Unfortunately, this had to be on her shorts, but it's a really good demonstration.
Yeah, she only got to wear them once.
Yeah, of the importance of seam allowance. So it wasn't just, if she'd constructed them with the serger, this probably would have happened. But she also did sew it with the sewing machine. And what happened on this seam was, let me describe.
Yeah.
Yeah, what happened on the seam was, the fabric completely pulled away and shredded, pulled away from the seam, and it's probably because not enough seam allowance was left, okay? And that is something you want to keep in mind with a woven.
Anytime.
Silk pants, Amber.
Well, okay. Anytime. Uh-huh. So then what she must have done is she sewed the seam and with the seams flat together.
Yeah.
So the two pieces of fabric were enclosed together in that one serge.
Right.
So the way I would have constructed that is I would have cut out my pattern pieces.
Yeah.
Correct. And I would have went to my serger and I would have finished all of my raw edges before I ever put a seam together because she needed that seam allowance.
Yeah.
And that's why there is a 5/8 inch seam allowance in your patterns and not like a quilt that's got a quarter. Now I want to say so,
but I do want to say I've done this before when I was newer to garment construction. I thought I don't want those seam allowances in there, so it's not an I just want to
now it doesn't mean you say, can't do that on a woven, but that particular woven was probably looser that it needed more stabilization.
I feel like I've told the story of when I constructed those home deck pillows I constructed a pillow from home deck scraps and I was like, I'm just going to do this on the serger, and I used a 4-thread. But it was the type of home deck that was sort of like a jacquard or, something that had these larger fibers and this, looser weave, and they pulled away from that. So it needed seam allowance. So that's when I've done it.
I have constructed things, woven things that were like polyester or whatever, or, I don't know, with on my serger.
Yeah.
You know, I have, and I usually used a 4-thread if it was a woven. And they're very durable, and they lasted. A lot of times that is what we do with Halloween costumes because you're getting it all done at once. You're not worried about
sure.
it. But the other thing is you never know when you're going to need seam allowance.
Very
That's
true.
That's the other thing. So, yeah, be careful, everybody. Seam allowance is important. And the thing that has happened recently, the experiences I'm having, is I've had a couple of quilters say to me, oh, my. Look, my seam allowance, the 1/4 inch seam allowance. If you're piecing a quilt and you have your 1/4 inch seam allowance and you are not going back over that with a quilting, you know,
yeah, with
actually
like quilting the
when you're actually
layers.
Quilting, right,
yeah.
when you're quilting your layers, that can pull apart.
Yeah.
That the one reason you can use 1/4 inch is because that quilt sandwich gets sewn together and it, you know, holds those things steady.
Right.
And the seams aren't getting any
of
the stress. So I had to explain that. And they're like, well, it said 1/4 inch. And it did. But it didn't say to them, well, you should be quilting this so that it's stable enough that you don't have stress on your seams.
I see.
Because even washing that quilt, you'll have stress on your seams.
Right. No, that's a good point. But yeah, it was funny because, you know, I feel like that experience of those twill shorts sort of showed, okay, I've got this information.
She'll never forget it.
No, it's a really good lesson. You know, which is one I've had to learn before too. But you're thinking, okay, I sewed it with the sewing machine and then I finished with the serger, I should be good. But when you eliminate that seam allowance on a fabric like that especially, you know, it can
you
happen.
Know, we're talking about silk and then we were talking about shorts and I
know.
And shorts. And I just it just hit me that I went through my silk short stage, too. I wore nothing. During the summer, I was this, like, exclusive silk short wearer.
Hey, do you remember when we both owned, and I think they're downstairs
Oh, those
still.
Silk.
We both owned
We have
pink.
One pair.
Oh, we have one pair. Okay,
they were beige.
No, I call that pink.
Oh, okay.
It's
they're
a pinky
beige.
Champagne.
Yeah, pinky beige. Yeah.
We both owned a pair of these pink silk cargo capri pants.
Right. And they had ties at the
yeah.
hem and they had some
so
they
I
were
had,
really cute.
Like I think mom had like a small and I had a medium or whatever. Where
I think at
those?
That point it was actually the other way around.
No, think I was bigger.
You always
still.
Had the bigger one? Okay.
Yeah.
But no, we bought them someplace like that was not expensive.
Why did we buy the same pants? What are we?
Did we?
Yes, we're so crazy. We were like,
well,
we both,
buy the same stuff when we're not together
both
sometimes.
We want these pants.
That happens. Or we fight over the same fabric.
I was
or,
in like yeah. ninth grade
you
when that happened.
Well, then you might have been bigger than me by
yeah,
then.
Yeah, I think I was. I think
but
I was bigger than you.
Everybody sort of passes me up at age
like
12 or 13.
Yes.
Yeah. So, but I wore exclusively silk shorts. And, you know, I had to iron those suckers. I had to wash them and iron it.
This is a long time ago.
Yeah. I was young, had a lot of energy. A
lot of time
yeah,
to iron.
Yep. But I was really cute in those, I thought.
Well,
I really liked myself.
Get that crinkly silk that
that's
supposed
possible.
To look crinkled. There you go.
Yeah. Well, actually, these did not. Silk does not. I feel like doesn't wrinkle like linen.
Like linen.
Oh,
yeah.
My gosh, linen. All you need is your linen on your hot summer body, and it just, you know,
right.
presses those things. And supposedly that's an elegant wrinkle, but, you know, explain that to everybody else.
Sit yeah. down in the car for,
right.
you know, drive
and
somewhere.
And it has, like, the shape of your butt
your
wrinkled
belt.
Into
yeah,
it.
And
yeah,
and, like, your seatbelt where it was
right.
across your chest or
I
whatever.
Also went through a linen dress phase.
I'm a sweater.
I went through
person,
a linen dress
so
phase
I,
there for a while, too.
I feel like
about
I can feel my body pressing my my linen like into those shapes.
Yeah.
Okay, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for posting in the Self Sewn Wardrobe group too. And you all have a fabulous time sewing. ZD, take it away.
So long and so happy.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit sewhere.com.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.
Hey, y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit DiscoverSouthCarolina.com.